friends. This is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're looking at the names and titles of God. This is chapter 4, God our Creator. We'll be looking especially at Isaiah 45, verses 5 through 12. But before we begin, let's pray. Our Father, we come to you today so aware that if we want to understand you, we need your Spirit to guide us. You reveal yourself. We can't figure you out. And so I pray that as we look into your word and examine your names, that you would reveal yourself to us individually, wherever we hear this message, that your Spirit would come. And we ask you for that and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The very first verse in the Bible identifies God as the Creator. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible tells us that he created it from nothing and, in an orderly way, moved from the most primitive forms of creation to the most advanced, man. In a beautiful and carefully structured poem of creation, God creates from day to day until he rests on the seventh day. That's Genesis 1 through chapter 2, verse 4. We didn't start this Bible study series with creation, but with God Most High, the way Abraham probably began to understand God. But at the very core of a thinking person's intuitive comprehension is that all this couldn't have happened by itself. There must have been a creator, an intelligent force behind creation. As Paul says in Romans 1, verses 19 through 20, what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. In this chapter, we'll be examining God's titles and metaphors as creator, builder, architect, God of heaven, maker of heaven and earth, and potter. We'll begin by examining a wonderful creation passage in Isaiah's prophecy where God speaks about his own role as creator and its implications for his created beings. So let's spend some time studying Isaiah 45, verses 5 through 12, since it introduces us to God as the creator. First, Yahweh states categorically that there are no other gods but he himself. This is Isaiah 45, verses 5 through 6. Why don't you open your Bible and follow along? I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, men may know that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Ancient peoples were used to thinking of gods of each nation, each serving its own god or gods. Yahweh asserts that he is not bound by any nationality or geography. The next verse, verse 7, uses the main Old Testament vocabulary for creation. I form, Yasar, the light and create, Bara, darkness. I bring, Asa, prosperity and create, bara, disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. Let me read that again without the Hebrew in it. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. This verse highlights three synonyms for creation. Let's see exactly what they mean. Asa is the most common Old Testament term for creating, with the basic connotation of do or make. When used in the sense of make, the emphasis is on the fashioning of the object. Bara means to create, make, initiate something new, bring into existence. The word is used in the Kal stem only of God's activity and is thus a purely theological term. Then yasar means fashion, form, shape, frame. Yasar denotes the activity of the potter as he shapes and fashions vessels and figures with his hands. While the word occurs in synonymous parallelism with other creation verbs, its primary emphasis is on the shaping or forming of the object involved. While bara emphasizes the initiation of an object, yasar emphasizes fashioning and shaping. Now let's plug this vocabulary into verse 7, realizing that the words are used in synonymous parallelism, a feature of Hebrew poetry. Here, they are not being used so much for their own distinctive flavor as for their similarity to each other. I, yasar, form the light and create bara darkness. I, asa, bring prosperity and create bara disaster. I, the Lord, do these things. God's creation of darkness and light are revealed in the first day of the poem of creation, Genesis 1, verses 1 through 5. But parallel to light and darkness are prosperity and disaster. The New Revised Standard Version puts it, I make weal and create woe. We get our word wealth from weal, by the way, which means well-being, health. The King James Version renders it, I make peace and create evil. Does this mean that God is the author of sin and evil? No. The word is ra'ah and can mean either evil or misery, distress, injury. The point of this verse is that God can bring either wealth or poverty, good circumstances or bad. There is not a good God and a bad God at work. The one God is the only uncaused cause in the universe. Does that mean that everything that happens is God's perfect will for our lives? No, again. His heart is love. His preferred means is through blessing. But while God can bring difficult circumstances to bear, we must realize that we have an enemy, Satan, who actively seeks the harm of God's people. God has chosen to allow or permit Satan to work on earth for a limited time, but ultimately Satan himself will be overthrown and destroyed. In the sense that God allows something, you might speak of God's permissive will. The reason God allows Satan to work is a mystery. Theologians and philosophers call this the problem of evil. We long to know why things happen to us, and most of the time we end up not knowing. A better question, however, is, God, what should I be learning from this circumstance? We do have a promise from Scripture. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. Having said that, God is telling us in Isaiah 45:7, the second part of the verse, I bring prosperity and create disaster. Reminds us of two things. One, God is not to be trifled with. And two, there is no misery, problem, or disaster that is out of His control and ability to restore, heal, and relieve. He is the Creator and can, if need be, recreate that which has been destroyed. He's not just the creator of misery or wealth, however. He is the creator of salvation and righteousness as well. He is the healer. Let me read verse 8. You heavens above, rain down righteousness. Let the clouds shower it down. Let the earth open wide. Let salvation spring up. Let righteousness grow with it. I, the Lord, have created it. Isaiah 45:8. This passage on God as the potter is particularly instructive in verse 9 because it speaks to attitude. Woe to him who quarrels with his maker, to him who is but a potsherd among the potsherds on the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? The word maker, by the way, is the same as the word potter, yasar, which is probably a better translation in this context. A potsherd, heres, can refer to either one, an earthenware vessel that is baked or fired, or two, a fragment of earthenware, a sherd. Here, he is referring to pots among other earthen pots. Clay, of course, is the raw material for pottery, a type of soil that is almost universally available. When water is added, it acquires plasticity, that is, it can be worked and shaped. And when fired, it holds its shape. Pottery was developed in the Neolithic age. Coarse objects were originally formed on a mat. Vessels were made by laying long coils of clay one on top of another, around and around, as the walls of the jar grew higher and higher. The potter's wheel appears all over the Middle East about 2750 BC, which greatly increased the speed with which a potter could work and boosted his output tremendously. Such wheels usually consisted of two stones, one pivoting above the other in such a way that the potter or his assistant could turn the upper stone as the potter molded the clay. The ancient potter began preparing the clay by refining it, if necessary, then pounding to get rid of any air bubbles that could ruin the piece when it is fired. If you've ever watched a potter at work, you know why the Bible uses this analogy for the Creator. As the wheel spins, the potter uses her thumbs and fingers to form a hollow in the center of the clay, then builds the walls of the vessel by pressing on the walls outward and upward to thin and heighten them. A good potter can create a bowl, pitcher, or cup in just a few minutes. It is an outstanding analogy for creation that people in the Middle East could observe every day in every village. Beautiful and useful pottery vessels being made from what were just lumps of clay. God is our potter, our creator. Well, now that we've considered how potters and pottery fit into Isaiah's culture, let's look at God's indictment of his whole people. I'm going to be reading from Isaiah 45 and then continuing on verses 9 through 12 here. Woe to him who quarrels with his maker, to him who is but a potsherd among the potsherds on the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Does your work say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what have you begotten? Or to his mother, what have you brought to birth? This is what the Lord says, the Holy One of Israel and its Maker, concerning things to come. Do you question me about my children, or give me orders about the work of my hands? It is I who made the earth and created mankind upon it. My own hand stretched out the heavens. I marshaled their starry hosts. Can you see how ridiculous it is for a pot to complain to the potter about its construction and purpose? Or a child to question his father and mother about bringing them into the world? God answers this stupidity with a grand statement of his prerogative as creator. Shouldn't the creator of the earth and its inhabitants be beyond having to endure his creation's second-guessing of their creator? Of course. Let's look at discussion question 1, based on Isaiah 45, verses 9 through 12. Why is it ridiculous for a pot to second-guess the potter? How do we Christians do this? What is a better attitude and behavior before our creator? Paul quotes this passage in Romans, reading Romans 9, 20 through 21. But who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for noble purposes and some for common use? We humans struggle to understand why things happen and chafe against the very concept of predestination that Paul discusses in Romans 9. But what do we know? We are like pots trying to order around the potter and demand our freedom of will. How silly. The lesson of the pot and the potter is an important one, but let's explore this a bit further. Several times the scriptures use dust and clay with an analogy to man's humble origins and physical destiny, and God as the potter or craftsman. Clay, Homer, is cement, mortar, clay, the raw material of pottery. The word is also a term for the reddish clay of of the area, particularly around Palestine. In Hebrew, there is sometimes a distinction between wet clay and dry clay, and dust or earth are sometimes related ideas. The usual word for dust is apar, dust, that is, fine, dry crumbs of the earth. Jeremiah's lament underscores the relative worthlessness of clay pots as Paul's view of man in the New Testament, Lamentations 4:2. How the precious sons of Zion, once worth their weight in gold, are now considered as pots of clay, the work of a potter's hands. And then Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:2, but we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Dust was everywhere, and a sign of great humility when one would put dust on one's head to mourn or put one's face in the dust before a conqueror. Pottery is just fired clay, which eventually breaks and turns to dust. Well, now let's look at one of the most famous creation verses in the Bible with this new perspective. This is from Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed the man, Adam, from the dust of the ground, Adama, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Notice the intentional play on words between Adam and ground, Adama. Observe the verb used for formed, yasar, the characteristic verb usually used for potter. The idea of potter isn't required by the verb, once it is used to describe a metal worker and another time an idol maker. Surely the word, however, refers to a craftsman. Hamilton contends that it is too much to render the verb yasar here as to do the work of a potter, since the medium is dust, not clay, though Spicer argues that apar is better translated here, clods, lumps of earth, soil, dirt. I don't think it's too much of a stretch to see a glimpse of the potter in Genesis 2:17. But the metaphor breaks down rapidly. It's not the body that's necessary for life, but the breath of life that God breathes into his own creation to make him a living being. In a similar way, Jesus compares the first birth, physical, with the new birth, spiritual. Has your Creator breathed into you the spiritual life that you need for this life and the next? Well, we've spent some time examining the analogy of the potter and the clay as a metaphor of creation. Of course, a number of times, God is called Creator. Deuteronomy 32:6b, is he not your Father, your Creator, who made you and formed you? This verse points out that Creator and Father, or one who begets, have great similarities. But Father is such a core name for God, especially in the New Testament, that it merits its own chapter. In verse 6 above, Creator, is another creation verb, kana, get, acquire, create. There are six places where kana appears to mean create, Psalm 139:13 and several others. The connotation in each of these verses is to make for oneself. This title, Creator, is found in the mouth of both Melchizedek and Abraham. Melchizedek says in Genesis 14:19, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, Creator of heaven and earth." And then Abraham, "I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, Creator of heaven and earth." Using a creation word that we've seen before, bara, create, bring into existence, Yahweh declares himself in Isaiah 40:32, "The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth." Ecclesiastes 12:1, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth." Isaiah 43:15, "I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King." In the New Testament, we see Matthew 19:4. "Haven't you read," Jesus replied, "at the beginning the Creator made them male and female." Romans 1:25. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Colossians 3:10. Having put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. And then 1 Peter 4:19. Therefore, let those suffering in accordance with God's will entrust themselves to a faithful Creator while continuing to do good. Another analogy to creation is building and construction. Hebrews 3:4. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Builder of everything, NIV, is kata skuatso, to bring a structure into being, build, construct, erect, create. Look at Hebrews 11:10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The RSV renders these titles as architect and builder. Builder and architect is the Greek noun technetis, craftsperson, artisan, designer, architect of the heavenly city. Maker and builder is demiurgos, one who designs something and constructs it, crafts worker, builder, maker, creator. Another title or metaphor is maker. Two verbs are sometimes translated maker in the Old Testament. Asah, do, make, with emphasis on fashion in the object, and yasar, fashion, form, both of which we've seen before. Maker is a favorite title in Job and other wisdom literature. Here are some other examples. I'll read just a few of these. There are a number in your notes. For this is a people without understanding, so their maker has no compassion on them, and their creator shows them no favor. Isaiah 27:11. Isaiah 54:6. For your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. And there are a number of others here. One that I like to read is Jeremiah 10:16. He who is the portion of Jacob is not like these, for he is the maker of all things, including Israel, the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord Almighty is his name. I read the NIV. The King James Version renders it the former of all things. Well, that's just a taste of how the Scripture uses it. Discussion question two. What inherent rights does a potter, creator, or maker have over what he has created? How should that affect our lives, our self-image, our sense of purpose? Now I'd like you just to listen to a psalm of creation in Psalm 95 that's chock full of names and titles of God. Just listen to it and enjoy it, and then I'll ask a question. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the flock under his care. Here's discussion question three now, based on Psalm 95. How many titles, names, and metaphors of God can you find in this passage, both explicit and implicit? What does the psalmist call on us to do in response to God revealed in his names? Why are these actions appropriate? Well, let's look at a few more titles of God now. God of heaven appears about 23 times in the Bible. Since it refers to the God who created heaven and lives in heaven, I am including it among the creator titles. It appears especially in the books written by authors who had lived in Mesopotamia. Sometimes it appears as the Lord God of heaven. It also appears in Revelation 11 and 16. Here are a few examples. Jonah 1:9. I am a Hebrew, he replied. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Nehemiah 1:4. The king said to me, what is it you want? Then I prayed to the God of heaven. Genesis 24:3. God of heaven and the God of earth. Acts 17:24. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And then Daniel 4:37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven. A few other titles and metaphors are a bit difficult to classify exactly, but they seem to belong to the Creator group. Here are a few. James 1:17. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. And then Isaiah 54, verse 5, which I read before, he is called the God of all the earth. And then John 15:2, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Or New Revised Standard Version is vine grower, or King James is husbandman. Let's conclude with a magnificent poem of creation found in Isaiah 40. I'll read verses 12 through 15 and 21 to 31. Let me read it out loud and we'll savor the words together. Ask yourself, what is the point for believers in the Creator? Let me start with verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who has understood the mind of the Lord, or instructed him as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge, or showed him the path of understanding? Now skipping down to verse 21. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, then he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes. Look to the heavens. Who created these? Who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name? Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths shall grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Discussion question 4, based on this passage. In this passage on the Creator of the ends of the earth, which words are repeated in verses 28 to 31? What application are we disciples to derive from this passage? What application are we disciples to derive in this passage so that we might understand God's might as creator? Well, we've looked at a number of names and titles of God that have to do with his creation and explored some of those things, being created from the dust of the earth, formed by God, almost like a potter forming a little clay man, and then breathing into him life, and then God the potter, architect, builder of all things, creator of heaven and earth, father of lights, faithful creator, God of all the earth, king of heaven, lord of heaven and earth, maker, my maker, the potter. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for a chance to just explore creation and who you are as our creator. I pray, O Lord, that you would help us to live our lives in this perspective and to love you and know you and draw on your strength as our creator. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.